Welcome to Business Mentorship, Keeping It Real, where we introduce corporate leaders who have taken the leap to business owner and participate with their great idea in our guest blog found on shareyourstories.online. Our guest is Rad Lakhani. Let's find out why this lawyer changed direction from her all-female, all-collaborative family law practice to focus on teaching others life skills for long-term success. Rad joins us from Toronto, Ontario, and it is my pleasure and introduce, welcome, Rad Lakhani.
Thank you so much.
I would like you to take us back towards the beginning, because I'm super curious to hear how you built a solid, all-female, all-collaborative family law practice as part of your entrepreneurial journey.
Well, so when I think about what leads to such success and to such victory stories in my life, and now I'm in the process of building a second act to my career, which is just wild and turbulent. And you know, it reminds me, it forces me to come back to this question that you're asking, which is, what is the magic sauce of making it work? Mm-hmm. And if I were have to boil it down, I would say it's the focus on service. It's the focus on serving and using your gift and your interests and your special sauce to just make the world a better place for other people, right?
Yeah.
So I think when we went in with that intention, now I never in a million years thought going into law school that that's how my story would play out in the legal profession. I kind of detoured into a business undergrad degree and then went to law school. And between the two, detoured further into a mediation certification that I got kind of by fluke while I was waiting to get into law school, which was the most phenomenal detour of all time. Because later I built a mediation clinic at Osgoode Hall Law School with a wonderful team that I assembled. So the path, I thought the path was business law, right? From the business undergrad, I thought I had economics background. Don't really remember anything about economics, but I have economics degree, apparently. And I thought, okay, and then you go into law school and you start to get sucked into the big firm mentality, and they come with their fancy highlighters and pens and laptop cases, and you know, and they want to schmooze you. And I thought, oh my God, this is what I must want to do.
Right.
I lost my way for a moment. But I think that's good. I think you have to go through that. I think figuring out what you don't want to do is equally valuable to what you want to do.
Yeah, so true.
Right. And the path is not always meant to be straightforward.
Yeah.
So I realized over time working for a very small law firm my first year summer when no one really wanted to give me a job because I knew nothing after first year law school. I worked for this amazing solo entrepreneur who said, okay, come and, you know, do basic real estate stuff with me. I started seeing family law cases there because his family law junior happened to quit that week to start her own practice. So timing is something.
Talk about serendipity, right?
Right. And I remember feeling that how much I loved seeing how I was directly impacting people as opposed to working on these corporate files, which later I got to experience, where I never saw the client. I never even knew their name. Like, corporations are legal entities of their own.
For sure.
And so I used to spend more time on the phone with the accounting department of these corporations talking about why our bills were so high than actually feeling like I was moving the dial with anybody.
Right.
So lucky for me, the universe lined me up to do family law. And then I went and started, I worked at the number one family law firm in the country, Epstein Cole. You know, a lot of people would say that's the number one. And the guy, Phil Epstein, rest his soul, was one of my mentors. And I got, so I, you know, I'm still in this Bay Street mentality and downtown. And over time, with my mediation background, I started to carve a path. I started to realize while it was a great firm to get experience at, I was really a square peg in a round hole. And my style was to start with settlement and start with mediation and have a meeting and let's have everyone. I couldn't believe how many letters we wrote and how many, and that's not to say that firm or all firms, right? Like, that's just the old legal model. And in fact, Phil Epstein was a pioneer in mediation. So he was amazing to see that he had straddled both sides. But I couldn't believe that people didn't want to just be in one room. I'm like, why don't the two lawyers and the two parties just get in a room and talk about it?
Yeah.
And eventually that started to become more of a legal model, like having four-way meetings, having collaborative meetings. So sort of just kept following the nudges of what felt good to me, to my heart, to my soul. And then one day, again, through kind of discomfort, ended up striking out on my own on a day where I never thought I would do that. I'm just going to tell you an interesting story because I think we're here to share the story.
Share the story, absolutely.
No, but it's okay. But I was working for a smaller firm where I had a lot more autonomy. I could carry my own files from beginning to end, but I didn't have to rainmake the files. So it was a beautiful hybrid for a risk-averse young lawyer.
Sure.
And over time, I started to, again, get that square peg in a round hole feeling. And one day I just had a bad day and I got into a cab to my husband's office. It was a 40-minute cab ride. I'm trying to call my best friend to cry on the phone and share my woes. And this cabbie kept trying to talk to me. And he's like, you know, and I don't think he even realized as he was driving that I was on the phone. And I kept saying, oh, sorry, like, I appreciate it. But, you know, I'm on the phone right now. And right then, Trish, my phone that was fully charged, that sat on a dock all day. My husband was actually in the cell phone business. I always had the best phone and the best dock. My phone that was fully charged died on me. Flatline, just black. And I end up being forced to have this conversation with this cabbie. This lovely cabbie who changed the course of my life. And he said to me, why are you crying, honey? Like, what happened?
Why are you upset? Yeah.
And I said, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm in the right place. And he goes, what's wrong with you? Start your own thing. Look at me. I'm a cab driver. You're a lawyer. Like, go and do your own thing. I said, well, thank you, but I don't know if I have enough experience. And he said, well, how many years experience do you have? And I said, well, I got like 3-4 years now. He's like, okay, what else do you need? That's enough. You'll learn as you go. I said, that's right. But it's not that easy. I got to get clients. And he goes, take your clients with you. I had not even for one millisecond contemplated starting my own practice.
Isn't it funny how serendipity things in life happen and you get a light bulb moment? That's really when you had a light bulb moment, right? You're having a conversation with a complete stranger who circumstances beyond your control put you in a situation where you go, maybe I should do this.
Right. Because my options before that were maybe I go find another firm where it's a better fit, or maybe I just take a break right now and finish my master's. I was doing my master's in law. God only knows why. But I really wanted to get as many letters as I could in the mediation side of my work.
Sure.
And so we get out of this cab, 40-minute ride. My husband comes to the door because he knew I was upset, so he was waiting for me. And I looked at him and I said, I'm starting my own law firm. And he was like, are you sure? You know, if you take one client, you got to do the whole thing. Excuse me. And by 48 hours from that conversation, 48 hours, I had started my own practice.
See, there you go.
And then over time, through a series of mat leaves, drew other female entrepreneurs to work side by side with me. So we were a law chambers. We had our own sole practices.
Right.
But then shared the office space, the gorgeous Parisian kitchen, our wellness room, so a lot of us shared staff, like law clerks and the reception. Mm-hmm. So
it was win-win.
It was win-win. It starts with that vision, believing in yourself. And really, I think that the mantra that saved, like really has changed my life is, who am I here to serve and how?
Right.
Yeah.
Which is probably very true for a lot of other entrepreneurs who are providing services, right?
Absolutely.
Even products sometimes. So, okay, let's fast forward now. So here you are, successful firm, wonderful, you know, lifestyle. You've built this great practice. And then you have another light bulb moment and decide, it's time for me to take a right turn. And now I'm going to start a whole new entrepreneurial journey, sharing the skills that I have been able to learn and acquire over the years of a successful practice and be able to help people change their own life. So how does that happen?
So I had been going through my own personal journey, as we all do, right? And I call it my own spiritual awakening, my own personal development. And now I'm helping people navigate divorce, loss, separation. While I had worked on my own loss, separation, not a divorce, but I was separated from my family at a young age. I lost a child at childbirth. I'd gone through my own real Armageddons. And so whenever I would see my clients, you know, I really wanted to help because that's why I was there. And I started to feel the limitations of the legal system for me. And I'm saying that now because hindsight's 2020. At the time, I don't know that I would have articulated that.
Right.
I think what it felt like was, okay, sure, I'm going to tell you X, Y, Z, and let's get this done because that's why you hired me. And now we're going to turn the timer off and I'm going to stop paying myself and you're going to stop paying me. And let's talk about this other tool that I think is actually going to help you way more.
Right.
Because any kind of turmoil, any kind of conflict, right, is not resolved at the surface. So what it felt like was we were cutting the weeds at the surface.
Right.
And we were trying to control the weeds on the neighbor's grassy patch, right? Like going over the fence, going, you do this. And what I realized was we individually have the power to transform our lives.
Right.
And that we draw to us the level and caliber of people, situations, lessons that we're here for. And once we've learned the lesson, we get to elevate to the next level. And so moving from like an unconscious participant in life to moving into being more conscious and consciously creating your life is what I realized I had done. And then I started sharing those tips. And over time, clients started coming back saying like, I know my file is closed, but can I still pay you $350 an hour to come and do life talk or life coaching?
And sure,
I couldn't believe it and that I could get paid to do it. And yet it's the thing I was the most passionate about talking about. And I knew it was the most valuable thing I could give them.
Well, I think too, you know, each and every one of us, as you say, has a journey and we meet, I don't believe that we meet people in life just by chance. I think that we do meet people for certain lessons. Yeah. So the gift that you have really, Rad, is to be able to now translate this knowledge and experience that you've acquired to folks. You're only going to connect with the folks who are really interested in learning it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. It takes time and finesse to figure that one out too. Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as an entrepreneur, you know, you've been an entrepreneur in many different forms and ways. So if there was a skill that you could share with our viewing and listening audience that you would say has carried you through all of those peaks and valleys in your career, what would be that skill? What would be the thing that you feel you've really honed in on that helps you as an individual achieve the things that you're trying to achieve?
There's so many components to this, but the one that's sticking out is vision.
Mm. So true. Being able to see where you want to go, right?
Yeah.
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 So right? True.
And being like a dog on a bone about it. And, you know, having the faith that if you had the vision and it lit you up, there is a reason.
Right.
You know, even going to law school, I remember saying to my mentor at the time, as I was pacing my mom's living room, my mom and dad's living room, waiting for admissions, it was April 2004. And she was like, don't worry, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. And I said, I'm not worried about not getting into law school would be so much bigger than, oh, I just want to go to law school. I felt in my bones that God, the universe, source, whatever you believe in, was guiding me to do this.
Right.
And so more than I will not know what to do with my life if I don't do this, I would have been wrong about everything.
Right. Your vision. You would have been off the vision would have been off course. And yeah. That's would have been the most unsettling, right?
That's right. And I think the vision is a feeling. It's a vision. You can see it.
Right. But you feel it. Yeah.
Right. It's a bit of both.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now, you've mentioned a few times that you've had some wonderful mentors in your life. And I think that too, I think we're all mentors to various different people that we meet at different ages and stages in life. So if you had to say that there was one thing, is there a common thread amongst the mentors that you've had that you seem to gravitate to that type of person? Mm. Or do those mentors appear when you lean to learn something new?
Yeah, I think the common thread with the mentors that I was gifted that kind of fell on my lap, I think the reason they became mentors for me was because they really saw me.
So there was a connection.
With who I was and who I wanted to bloom into.
Right.
And they could already see the fully developed tree.
Right.
They held the vision.
They had the vision, right?
Yeah. And I think that's the best thing about mentors or best friends or people in your corner is that they become that North Star, mm-hmm. that as you're doing your journey, mm-hmm. and hopefully enjoying the ride, because that's really how you get there. They make sure, if you feel lost in the dark one night, you can hold on to those North Stars and confirm that you are in fact on track. And when they see you and they see the vision, they're like, oh, no, you're good.
Right.
You're going there. And I know you're going there and I can see it already. Stay the course.
Right. Right.
I think that's the most powerful. Yeah.
So at this particular stage in your new business venture, perhaps you could share with our viewing and listening audience, who is your ideal customer? Because, I mean, you've had the vision, you've made the leap, you've made the change. Now you've tweaked the business model, I'm sure, a little bit. Is there a particular type of individual that you feel is your best client?
I think it's people who are starting to feel like they're on this awakening journey.
Right. The ones who are changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones who are saying, there's got to be more to this. I'm starting to feel drawn to personal development. I'm starting to feel drawn to spirituality and understanding more about how I can be empowered, how right. the power actually literally lies in me. Mm-hmm. And so generally, I have group programs, but then I also do one-on-one coaching. And in both cases, that is the flavor of the clients. The one-on-one clients are ready to go all in.
Right.
On like the highway.
Sure.
Yeah.
The group sessions gives them an opportunity to put their toe in the water to see if this is really something that they're interested in pursuing at this particular point in time, right?
Yeah. And it's a level of transformation. It's a speed, right? So
right.
if a group program is a road I take people down, it still gets them point A, point B. Mm-hmm. The one-on-one coaching, the way it feels to me, it's the highway.
It's like the express route.
Yeah, so we get there faster. It's laser sharp, right?
Yes, for
one's
sure.
One's like a car wash, still does good things, and the other one's like a detailing.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, you've mentioned vision. We've talked about mentors. Yeah. And I know that one of the things that we always do is we're looking forward to the future, because when you're in a position of service, that service cannot stay stagnant. It has to be moving and you have to be continually developing yourself. So is there something that you can share with our viewing and listening audience that talks about your own vision for the future? So a year from now, where does Rad see herself in her business?
Yeah, it's a great question. I personally like to peg dates further out, but that's just how I operate. But whether it's a year or 5 years or 10 years, I think the number one thing, I hope I'm answering your question, the one thing that I focus on to get there, to get where I want to be and what that end goal feels like, is who I want to be to other people and as a human being. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that version of Rad feel like?
Right.
And for me, it feels like more and more love, frankly. It feels like unconditional, unfettered, unlimited, tapped love. And with that love comes this desire to serve and to help people
right.
get where they want to go and to find their happiness as fast as they can, right?
And that's really a wonderful thing that has been part of your journey throughout all of the various different facets of your career. So kudos to you for being able to nurture and grow that particular part of your journey, because clearly you're having an impact and a difference on all of the people that you touch and serve.
Thank you.
Now, one of the things that we do in the guest blog is we ask folks to share three words of advice. So I'd like you to wrap up your conversation with us today talking about your three words. So meditate, listen, and laugh.
Yeah, and I know I said to you, the way I operate, sometimes my words will change. So meditate definitely is there still. Meditation can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people. And I know sometimes the ones, including myself, who need it the most, feel the most further away from like, well, how do I do this? I can't quiet my mind. I can't slow it down. But those are the days, the moments, the people that I feel could use it even more, right? Sure. So it's some form of inward silence and contemplation. That has been a huge game changer in my life. And I don't think I would have made the career change with the confidence or the speed or maybe even ever had I not done that work to tap into my own inner voice, my own inner GPS, which is the one that's telling me what the vision actually is. Sure. Yeah. Right? Especially because we have so much noise in our world, social media, things get busy. A lot of people trying to get our attention. So getting quiet and going within is the number one. My second one, which is still on that first list that you mentioned, laugh or, you know, have fun. You know, as recent as this morning, I tapped into what I call my higher self or the flow inside of me, the life force inside of me. And I said, okay, you know, I have so many things on my plate and I have so much going on. Like, what advice would you give me right now from this future version of me? Well, what do you want to look back and say to me? And I heard, have more fun. Mm-hmm. And it's something I really try to remind myself because I'm pretty hardworking and diligent and get a little obsessive and perfectionist and, you know, a little hard on myself about how much I should be doing and how much more I could be doing. And I just keep reminding myself, it's meant to be fun.
Right.
It's meant to be fun. And the frequency and the energy that you're in on the ride determines the outcome.
For sure.
Right. The third one, I think you put listen. I would tie that back into listening to your inner voice and connecting to that heart center inside of you that's literally guiding you. Not from the Hallmark, cliche way that we use the word heart, but truly we have this energy center in our body that now we understand scientifically is emitting way more energy than your brain or any other part of your body.
Right.
And when I left law, the words that kept coming to me that I kept feeling kind of like the vision without the image was my heart left the room and I'm just following it. So listening to that, I think you could never go wrong. Yeah. So those would be my three.
Well, I would like to thank you for joining us today because I think that you've given us an awful lot to think about. You shared some of your personal journey, which I think is really important for people to make a connection with us as humans. But I also think you've given us some really great things to think about because I can't think of anyone who doesn't at some point in life come to the crossroad where they feel that they have to make a change and then they're looking for someone, that North Star that you had mentioned, to help guide them and transition them to the new place for them in life. So thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you for joining us today for this edition of Keeping It Real, introducing you to the person behind the logo. If you'd like to connect with our guest, you'll find Rad's contact information in the description portion below. I'm Trish Tonai, founder and host for the series. And if you're interested in sharing your business story, visit our website at shareyourstories.online. And for other inspirational features, subscribe to our channel, Business Mentorship, Keeping It Real. Thanks again for tuning in, and we look forward to meeting you next time when we share another great idea.